Welcome to Declare Your Independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear here and declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, to another interview from Mid-Continent Freedom Festival here in Spavinaw, Oklahoma. And we have a young woman that is married, three kids, Northwest Arkansas. She's been married 14 years, Ingrid Dykes. Now, Ingrid, I met you last year. You were here then, weren't you?
I was. I've been going for about six seasons now.
Yeah. Now, what they do is they have it in, I think, October and April. Mm-hmm. So October, it's like fall. The leaves just start to turn, and it's really beautiful, nice and cool. And then that spring, and the leaves are starting to come back, and it's nice and cool. So he does it at two best times of the year here in Oklahoma. And I've realized now why they call it Oklahoma. Lots of oak trees. I guess that's why.
I mean, most of the time, it's great weather as soon as we get here.
Well, yeah, here, you know, at this time of year, but it gets cold, man.
Oklahoma especially.
I vote not.
But fresh and early.
Well, you know, let's talk about that. Are you're Northwest Arkansas? Is that where you're from or is that where you moved to?
That's where we moved after right at the start of the pandemic, actually.
The plandemic,
plandemic.
The scandemic, scamdemic, the freaking BS. So you moved from where?
From Kansas. So, Kansas City area.
So you were in the city and you just kind of, you wanted...
Suburbia. And my husband had been transitioning from his previous career into a new one. And a whole bunch of circumstances happened. Coincidences, if you will, I don't know, miracles we call them, where we moved right at the beginning and into nature, and we saw a neon sign that said, you belong here, so we knew we were right where we were meant to be.
Okay, wait, a literal neon sign?
A literal neon sign at the Momentary downtown.
That you belong here.
Oh yeah, we were on a date, and we turned around and saw the sign in beautiful handwritten but neon lights.
In Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
So how the heck were you at the neon sign, you belong here in Arkansas?
We were just
from Kansas City.
We knew that we were supposed to be there. I don't know. It was just there.
I mean, were you driving? Were you visiting something?
We were walking around. The Momentary is a landmark in the area. I don't know if it's... There's a hotel at the top, or a restaurant at the top. It's kind of... 1960s,
well, Northwest Arkansas
style.
Is not, you know, near middle of Kansas, is it?
No.
So how are you there?
It's Bentonville. So it's Walmart City. The Waltons made that town. They started it from scratch. Sam Walton and Helen.
Okay, so I'm sorry to be confusing, but I'm just like, you were originally living in Kansas,
mm-hmm.
and you just happened to be visiting Northwest Arkansas.
So my husband's job merged, like one company was merging with another company, and his job was arbitrary at that point, so they picked other people and he was let go with pay. It was a good deal, but we had nowhere else, like we didn't know what we were doing, so
you're just traveling around.
Well, we were stationary. It was only 2 or 3 weeks of not having a position, but someone called him and said that they were looking for a someone to fill in a spot.
Oh, so he went there for a job
thing.
Okay, so you were there kind of checking it out, see what's up. Mm-hmm. You, neon sign, you belong here. Okay,
where And then we knew, and it was 3 days that we got to check out Northwest Arkansas because I was like, what's that? Where is that? I thought that one street was the entire city, and little did I know there was so much more to offer that they were offering. And he accepted the position. We had three different signs that let us know that we were supposed to be traveling. And we saw, we went on our, I call it our second honeymoon. We went on a cruise and came back and realized that everyone was masking up. Things were closing down.
This was in Kansas City.
This was in Kansas. And so when we came to Northwest Arkansas, people were still continuing it, but on a lesser scale. Like, it wasn't as crazy.
It was only the school teachers and librarians and politicians that were masking up.
And I sent my kids to school. And that was where I discovered what they were actually doing, because I didn't pay attention before. I would volunteer here and there and visit my kids for lunch. But what I realized was they were not letting parents go in to the school to retrieve their children, to drop off a lunchbox if they forgot it, or heaven forbid, they forgot their laptop and we weren't allowed to bring it because of transfer, you know, germs transfer from hands to hands, and they were over the top. I wasn't allowed to have access to my children, and I knew that was a red flag from the get-go. And I have, my oldest son has autism. He can't. He's 12. He's 13 now. He just turned 13 this week. He can't advocate for himself. Knowing this, I knew what I had to do, but I was scared to do it. And that was take the kids out of school, homeschool.
Take them out of the government school, homeschool yourself. This was in Kansas.
This was in Arkansas at this
point.
Yeah.
But I remember in Kansas, they have like East and West Kansas, some more homeschool than other. There's like a big thing going on there, you know. So when you go to Arkansas, you ran into the school thing. Then you go, I like Arkansas, but not in the government schools.
Right. Yeah. I was exposed to it very early on, and it was only about 4 months that I had to deal with that, with the children going and me not having access to them. It bothered me, and I had time to plan, and in that time, I met a few different homeschooling parents, and it was happenstance. I didn't seek them out, but somehow they came on the radar. They came through and started teaching me things, and I researched about the homeschooling lifestyle.
Well, define that, you know, the homeschooling lifestyle. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah, so I basically, my first item on the docket was to go on YouTube and type in homeschool mom, what to do next. And there were so many videos of parents who had taken their children out of the system to do it, or had been homeschooling since the get-go. They just already knew that they didn't trust the education system that had been in plan for the last 200 years. And it's basically an experiment.
On your children?
Yeah. I learned that my children's energy is their fodder. Who's they? The they that we all talk about. They started the pandemic. They created the virus. I don't know who they is. But
I know who they are. They're the ones who won't leave me alone. That's who they are.
The listeners all have a different version of who they are, and we probably all agree.
Well, you know, my thing is that I went through the same thing when I first started doing radio back in 2003. And they go, you crazy freaking anarchist libertarian, who are they, you tinfoil hat? You know, and I go, good question. There are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone. That's who they, them, those are, you know? When I say they, they're the ones that won't leave me alone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's so easy for my mindset to figure out who they are. They're the ones who won't leave me alone.
It all boils down to control.
Yeah, what you got to do, what you can't do, that kind of thing. So how was it in Arkansas to just start homeschooling? You know, you're going, I'm doing it. Like Arizona, I checked the law, and it said we have four kids. And when our oldest was in third grade, That's it. We're done. You know, I'll do flashcards, man. I think watch Sesame Street all day. Something better than this. This is no way. And long story, but what I did is it said that you just notify school authority, the board, something.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, so I just went in on the first day of school, and I go, ooh, the money guy's here. You got four kids. Mr. Hancock, what's up? And I said, you know, can I borrow a pen? Oh, thank you. And that, you know, those little pink, you know, while you were out message slips that they have. And I go, okay. And I turn it over in the back, and I go, to whom it may concern, the Hancock children no longer be attending government school, signed it, handed it, and walked out, never looked back.
You know.
That was it.
You could do that.
I did that.
In Arkansas, they make it pretty easy. I was nervous at first, wondering how am I going to take my children out of here? What is my, how do I control this? What is my authority? And that's
it's
where
called parent.
Well, freaking, you know, it sent me on another. It sent me on another rabbit, down another rabbit hole, realizing my sovereignty and authority and speaking up and creating boundaries. It has really changed my life for the better.
That, well, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, you're here at MidFest. I want to hear how you found out about this, why you keep coming back. You know, your relationship with the government and the school system and your kids and your husband's role and all this kind of, you know, this, this all very interesting. But my first thing is the decision you made to pull your kids out of government school. That was a, that was, you know, they can't be here.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I need access to my offspring.
So they were like, you're not allowed. No, no, no. We got them over here. They're in a cubby, pinky swear, and you can send them a note and, you know, this kind of thing.
No,
went,
not even that.
No, you were like, we're done. I can't have my, we are so done. I don't get to talk to my kid when I want to.
Right. That sent me into a rabbit hole, looking into the ways to, well, I tried talking to the principal. She said, okay, we're normally not doing any tours through the school, but since you guys are new to the area, we'll let you walk through the school and see where your kids will be in their classes and where the lunchroom is. I know. So kind of you to let me see the jail that they'll be in. No windows. And all of this started dawning on me, right? I didn't realize the kind of facility they'd be held in for most of the day. And kids get home tired and they don't want to do homework. So after the research I did, YouTube research, talking to my counselor, talking to other homeschooling parents, talking to my husband and saying, we can't do this anymore. If my eldest can't advocate for himself, someone's got to. That's me. That's my job. And all these red flags didn't appear clearly until I started doing the work on myself to learn about myself and learn where I had missed these red flags and where a lot of people in America are missing these red flags, because we externalize, we look for outside sources to help us or save us or do things for us. The school, they'll just, everybody's doing it, send them to school and they'll be taken care of. They'll get their education. And I considered myself an idiot. Who am I? What do I know? How am I supposed to raise these future citizens of the country, of the world? But I slowly gained the confidence. And it took, well, slowly, it took me a few months. That's why I think it's so slow. But really, in, it's actually a fast track. If you can get what you need to learn in just a few months, you're doing pretty good. So I gave myself a little credit there. Took my kids out of school. I had a due date. I had a date set in my mind, and I took them out April 5th, and it was just a month and a half before the school year ended. But I knew it was the right thing to do anyway. So they said goodbye to their classmates. They came home with me. We spent the first week. I printed up a whole bunch of, I went through a whole different slew of curriculums, just trying to do the right thing and get them educated as fast as possible.
Because they weren't.
Right. Well, what I realized was when the children had to stay home during the pandemic, teachers were lost. they were trying to do things online, but Common Core has screwed things up. So there's not really a good way to teach outside of
okay,
a classroom
wait, wait,
setting.
Wait. During this process, when you're taking them out, what year was this? Is 21?
21.
So April of 21, were they physically at the school? Had they already been doing remote learning with the
computers? They had been doing remote learning since, well, I'm wondering if it was August. August, they came back to school. And that's when I started noticing everything, mm-hmm. was the fall season of 2020. Mm-hmm. March is when they took the kids out. They didn't let kids go to school after a certain point. I think it was from mid-March or like late March to summertime. And they were sending home.
The previous year.
Yeah.
In 20.
Right, the spring mm-hmm. season, I guess.
Yeah.
They were sending kids home with work like. It just didn't make any sense. I can't even explain it. But some of the activities that they were supposed to be doing were writing chalkboard letters, notes to friends for their neighbors and like doing acts of kindness, which I love. Acts of kindness, random acts of kindness, that's great. But is it really what you're supposed to be educated
acts
on?
Acts of teachers don't have to do anything.
Exactly. Yeah. So I realized how little the teachers were doing. And most of the time kids are in school, they're line leading, they're holding onto ropes, they're raising their hands to go to the bathroom. Things that you would normally, like this doesn't teach you real life skills. You're not learning how to seal an envelope and send out checks in the mail or change tires or learn basic
life
yeah. skills.
Yeah. So how old are your children? They seem like preteen, teen, around there.
My eldest is 13. I have a 10-year-old daughter in the middle, and then my youngest boy is 7.
Damn, I mean, you look
boy, girl,
23.
Boy.
I mean, you know, how old are you?
I am 35.
Oh, my God.
And happy to be there.
Yeah, no, man, I want your oil of Olay or something. Is that a thing? I mean, do you, have natural skincare? Do you eat organically?
Oh, yeah, I've changed everything. Since the pandemic, I've changed who I am. I am a different person.
Do you think it's changed your health and your skin?
Absolutely.
And all that?
I don't know why.
That is one thing in these festivals. And it's just everybody looks younger and younger all the time. I think they're, oh my God, we're eating right. What happened?
Okay, I have one word for you. Inflammation.
Yeah, that's what I did.
And you can be inflamed more than just your body. You can be inflamed in spirit, in mind, in emotional energy. Everything is inflamed. It's on fire. And if you feel that fire and you're uncomfortable, your body is teaching you a lesson. Your mind is telling you something. You're uncomfortable. Something's got to change. So I looked into that too.
So did you see a difference in your skin? And
I grew out my hair. I started using natural oils. I saw the MLM oil train where people are selling you stuff like mm-hmm. snake oils and I won't use the company's names, but, everybody knows somebody who's selling an oil, an essential oil. Well, there is some truth to that. And I don't know, just things of the earth. I'm a natural girl now.
Yeah, no. We're with you, sister. We wish we'd done it earlier, because I'm over 60 now. So I've been a lot
sometimes
better.
Sometimes it takes a pandemic to show you what's important. With healthy eating and getting out in the sunshine, it's not going to kill you. There are so many things that are
it was everything
meant to scare.
They wanted you to do was the most unhealthy thing. Stay inside, not go outside.
Not be around other people. We need each other.
It's so bad. Well, we did it. Well, we got really into it to the point that we got a distilling, lab, for Donna to distill essential oils, into soaps and stuff. I haven't used a store-bought soap in, God, years.
You can save a bit of money. I mean, there's an initial upfront cost, of course, but it preserves. When you're close to the earth takes care of you and you take care of it, and it is a symbiotic relationship that continues.
What about food preservation and so on? Are you preserving?
Oh, I'm still learning about that. I'm not a full homesteading mom. I'm really trying. I have the books. I've been practicing a lot of cooking and making things from scratch, just like the olden days.
There you go. Well, Don, well, let's put it this way. She's done mason jars, preserving and mm-hmm. canning and that kind of stuff with friends. And we'll have, the people and being, you know, all the women will come in, they'll learn it and, and have some fun. But, you know, she, I need a bigger, so for her birthday just last month, she got a big 15-quart canning pressure cooker.
Yes, give the woman an appliance for her
birthday. Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's a way to get off easy.
That's an absolute, you know, all right, you brought that up. You know, one time.
You're welcome.
She does a lot of, you know, ironing. We have, you know, four kids. It's a thing, right?
Yeah.
So it was Mother's Day, and at Costco, they had this pimp freaking ironing board. It was big. It had a place to put it. I knew she'd really like it. And this woman comes up, and she goes, "Don't even think about it." And I'm like, okay, you know, I will get an ironing board for Mother's
Day. And then she turns her back.
No, she was mad. She was like, "You should have got it." You know?
Oh, okay.
So
that's when you know you've hit the jackpot.
Well, the thing is that, you know, if you don't get it right then, it's not there again. You know, Costco, you got to wait till next year or something.
Oh, okay.
You know, so finally when it came, I go, "That's the one." You know, we bought it and got, you know, it's fine. So yeah, she wants, you know, her KitchenAid attachments. You know, all the girls in our family, they're all, everybody getting a new KitchenAid attachment for something. It's the pressure cooker. It's the, you know, bread maker. It's the, you know, so I made out, "What do you want?" They would tell, you know, the hubby, "Listen to this. Don't you be getting her a new ironing board. You know, you want a what? A cruise?"
No, I like skates. I invest in my hobbies now. I didn't take care of myself before. And I realized that part of this lifestyle is remembering self-care. I'm not talking about the spa days. I'm talking about eating well and going outside into nature and, yeah, getting investments in or making investments in things that bring you joy. If it doesn't
bring
you joy.
Well, what were you before you made this shift? What were your mindset?
Fat and lazy and tired.
But did you lose a lot of weight?
I lost a good amount of weight, yeah.
Yeah? No, you look good. So this is... You're saying this is all because of a change in diet? Was it a change in spirit?
It was, you know, a change in spirit along with, and this is a sensitive topic for me, and I'm sure it is for some of the listeners. The pandemic brought a lot to light. Churches were also shutting down. Not just schools, not just businesses, but churches too.
The bad churches. I mean, I was like, man, they shut down. That was...
And I had had questions the year before. I was asking all kinds of things I shouldn't be asking.
Protection. Eleutheromania. The insatiable desire for freedom.
Filibuster. Holy stink.
It's the new three-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass. Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Tired of ever-inflating U.S. dollar? You can live your life on Dash with bitrefill.com, where you can buy gift cards from big retailers, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, at Midfest, Spavinaw, Oklahoma, where we're talking to a lot of freedom fighters that are just becoming aware over the last few years. And it seems that the primary motivation for them doing what they're doing was COVID and the lockdowns. Well, we're talking to Ingrid Dykes, and I'm just telling you, this is a very interesting conversation. Enjoy.
The pandemic brought a lot to light. Churches were also shutting down. Not just schools, not just businesses, but churches too.
The bad churches. I mean, I was like, man, they shut down. That was...
And I had had questions the year before. I was asking all kinds of things I shouldn't be asking in a patriarchal religion. And I realized at that point, and I don't know if it's evangelical, I don't know if it's all of the churches, But not every member of a church gets the proper care and tending to. And spirit's important to me. And I had always tried to be a good girl or do the right thing. But some things were confusing. What to wear, what to eat, how to behave. And those things were already innate that I started to find them obligatory, and they weren't really feeding my soul anymore. So along with all those churches shutting down, I realized that I need somewhere to go that feeds my spirit. And it wasn't external. It was, I needed to meditate. I just needed to sit down, calm down, not have any expectations of the world, and be myself. And being myself, I didn't know what I wanted. I was just doing the roles, doing the motions.
Well, I mean, tell me about your spiritual journey. I mean, we're Christians.
You want to hear that?
we brought up, yeah, give your testimony to me, whatever. Witness me. You know, we our children, we brought them, we homeschooled them. Then we did a charter for a little bit. But eventually, they're from 7th to 12th grade, they all went to Phoenix Junior, Senior Christian School. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, it was, you know, junior high, high school.
You want to send them somewhere where your values are honored.
Which I think happened, but they got their own issues too. And there was kind of, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to put some fear into you here, you know, that kind of thing.
Fear is the best teacher, right?
Well, I was like, come on, man. We, you know, lighten up on the fear. But the main thing was the parents were in charge, you know.
That's good.
The parents were very much... They're paying money. I mean, you know, so it was a thing. You want this here money? Guess who's in charge? You know, so it was a really good experience for us. And they got, well, it just so happened this last Easter on Saturday and Sunday, God, it's like seven of my family got baptized on that weekend. You know, well, we had my son and his whole family, his wife and four kids. You know, and then over the 2 days, and then that inspired his younger sister,
okay.
You know, so she goes and does, and other people have. And of course, when Donna and I, when we were baptized, I didn't do the children. You know, I wanted that to be their thing.
A choice.
You know,
that
yeah,
they made it was, consciously.
Yeah, it was more, I didn't want it to be. So even when they did their younger children, whatever, you know, it was a family thing over the Easter weekend. But it was, for me, I wanted this kind of experience for them, you know, that they made the conscious, they felt led and they, you know, sprinting down. And
there's wisdom in that. There's major wisdom in that decision.
It was, and Donna was brought up Catholic, and, you know, I was, you know, Southern Baptist in Florida kind of deal, or in Arizona. And she went to her first Southern Baptist Be Healed. She's sprinting down, man. Woo, this is where I need to help men do me. And so I can see from, they're reading Latin when I go to her mass. I'm just like, wow, man, this is, you have no idea what's coming. So the spiritual aspect of this, I really started having services at our home. Mm-hmm. On a Sunday, and a lot of libertarian, you know, people of faith would come to our house because we were, and Donna got her apathy cured by Ron Paul during the Levolution and everything, so she got more involved that way. But it was, I could see that the church, we really, each one of the church had some fundamental problem, and we got to find another church. We got to not find another church.
Yeah.
And now we spend most of our time going to our daughter and son-in-law's church. We like that, Dream City in Glendale in Arizona. But I really left the church because there was so much warmongering.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you got to get your COVID shot. You got to, you know, we're going to close down.
From the top down, it is almost like a mandate. Well, the Pope or the Prophet or the Bishop or the priest or the pastor, whoever it is, the minister, is doing it. So everybody do it. But in the fine print of their messages, and it says, oh, but it's your choice, of course. But only in the fine print, only at the end. But if you love Jesus, you're going to love your neighbor and get the shot.
Oh.
And they sent us home. And they said, you can do church things at home, you still worship and honor God, and you can participate in the Eucharist at home, but only under our direction. And even if you have a priesthood or, I don't know, in our church it was like that, where you have the priesthood bestowed upon you when you enter into this age and this covenant with God. But we can take it away at any time. We can take your...
What?
Well, you...
The church said this.
Our church did, yes.
That you don't do what we say, we're going to yank your soul.
Well, you can do what we say when we say it. But when church resumed again, then they said, okay, now it's lifted. We're taking back the reins for your ability to minister to your family. And some people wanted to stay home and continue doing what they're doing at home because they didn't see a need to go back, or they were afraid, they didn't like to be around people, whatever the reason. But I saw through those cracks. I saw what was going on behind the scenes, and it disheartened me. So I
did. You find a new relationship with God?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it was kind of the insulation got peeled away. You know, the block that is that these mental hurdles they put on people. It's just, do you find yourself that you recognize this as a way you are? It's kind of a nature thing, or is it nurture, the way you were brought up?
It's both.
When I do these interviews, I do this all the time, and it's annoying a lot of times to, you know, the interviewee, but I want to know where it came from. You know,
it's therapy hour.
No, I mean, you know, made the decision to pull your kids out of the government school. You made a decision not to be insulated from God from, you know, some pastors told you got to do this, then we change it, and then you're not, and all this kind of stuff. And I'm going, usually it's a parent, a grandparent, employer, a track coach.
Sounds like you're saying
some roles influenced you.
Well, yeah, you're talking about roles of authority. That's where my problems stemmed from.
Why?
Early childhood, because I had family members, and without going too deep, yeah.
An authoritarian figure.
I had an
authoritarian,
authoritarian figure.
Deserve the authority.
Right, because I saw one lifestyle at home and the other lifestyle playing a part in public. When they didn't match up, that was something that didn't dawn on me until later that was wrong. I learned from 12 years old that I was kind of on my own in spiritual growth.
You had your own standard that you would judge the world by, that you would kind of lens. You had a neon flash and warning sign went off in your mind or something.
Just that it was wrong. But I still wanted to people please. I still wanted love and admiration and respect and fellowship from my peers and from the adults around me. I didn't have a leg to stand on. I did not have a backbone at that point. I didn't have critical thinking. So when I developed critical thinking, it stemmed from being a questioner. I question authority, and I always have.
Well, this is a major change. How did this affect your husband? Your husband's like, yeah, man,
it's
you go,
major.
Girl. Or he's like, whoa, what the heck?
Yeah, it was more like the latter. He was surprised and worried and concerned and wanted to take care of me. He's a good man. But it shook us. It rocked the boat. It changed everything. Where before I would just go along with the motions and try to be a good girl, try to take my kids to church and have them wear the right thing and get dolled up to impress who? But I did that. But I wasn't taking care of myself. Like I said, I had inflammation. I had skin problems. I had stomach problems.
What
I
do
didn't
you think it
have
was from?
Deep friendships. That I was indoctrinated with society. I was indoctrinated by the dogmatic principles in the church.
What food? When you keep saying inflammation, what do you think inflamed you a lot?
Processed foods, preservatives.
Yeah, just
there were certain
crap.
Yeah, because it changes the nature of the essence that you're ingesting. Dairy, for example, you can get raw milk, you can get non-homogenized. I don't know, just like pasteurized or
pasteurized
organic. I felt
I'm,
like
I'm a raw milk fan. I'm a goat raw milk fan.
Right, goat milk has been friendly on my stomach. I try to do nut milk most of the time. Let the readers look into that. No, but coconut and almond and cashew. I try it all. I like to experiment with
oat seems
food.
To be the most tolerable to me for
yeah,
for
and they
milk.
Still put chemicals in there. So it's yeah, almost like just, you can't find anything pure these days.
We do raw milk whenever we can.
That's great. And if you can find it in your area, I recommend it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, in Arizona, they had the dairy there that we'd go pay $13 a gallon or something like that. But, you know, I felt a lot better. I didn't get the acid reflux you know, from it. I didn't get, you know, this is, and I'm a milk guy. I mean, just get over it, you know. But the I asked him, I go, how are you able to get away with it? He goes, because Shamrock doesn't care yet.
Right.
Because Shamrock Dairy, I mean, if they would have made a call and kind of, hey, go get these guys, they'd be gone.
Yep, regulations, and you follow
the money.
It
wasn't even regulation. It was just competition.
Okay.
It was like, I'm sure they, if Shamrock would have complained, they'd get regulated, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just told him, I go, well, they can come after it. He goes, yep. As soon as Shamrock gets pissed off, we get too big, here they come. As long as we don't, you know, get into their contract at the grocery store or whatever, you know? So it's just... It's not about health. It's about they, them, those. It's about something else. It's competition. It's you're messing with the forces of you're not allowed. So when you made this decision to the inflammation on your body.
Oh, yeah, that and wheat, too.
Right.
Because that's a whole other rabbit hole.
Yeah, I know. We talked about this stuff on the show. Like my one of my grandsons, I go, you know what? Had to take him to a naturopath, and he's got this rash all the time. He's got him going, I'm just saying, I just want to make sure you know, those Honey Nut Cheerios are gone, man. I mean,
I know
every
so many
morning,
changes.
It was Honey Nut Cheerios, and he was down, and I said, those are gone. I just want you to know that.
Yeah.
So the doctor didn't even test him. He goes, we're just going to stop your Honey Nut Cheerios, and then you can
right
come
away.
Back. We'll talk about
yeah.
it. Boom. You know, big improvement. So this is it that you find yourself sensitive to this stuff probably more than people?
And I was sensitive before, but like I said, without the without self-care, you're going to ignore the symptoms. You're going to ignore the signs. You're not even going to look into it. You're not going to ask questions. You're just going to go along with eating those donuts, which I love. It's my favorite naughty food. But it has so much stuff in it that is just terrible for you.
Well, let's talk about the spiritual aspect, you know, of
it was just blocking everything.
Just government, you know, the church, other people's opinions, the media.
That's a lot of topics. What are we going
to say? Well, how'd you break from that? What was it that you, what was the epiphany that you had?
Hmm.
What was the radio show you listened to, the podcast, a book you read? I mean, it had to be something, or was it just all stemmed from yanking your kids out of school?
That's a good question. Honestly, the questions that I had put on the shelf for so long, my shelf broke. And it's a phrase that evangelicals use frequently is that, yeah, the shelf couldn't hold all those heavy things. They were such burdens. And I experimented with marijuana for the first time, cannabis, mm-hmm. and that helped open my mind after I had already had those questions and started writing about it in my journal.
Did you experiment with your husband or on your own?
Just on my own with my cousin one day. And I had epiphany after epiphany after epiphany and realizing Adam and Eve, what is that just man and woman? Like, is that just an allegory? And I realized very quickly that you can look at it that way. I just didn't realize that I could look at it in terms of a dichotomy, and I started meeting friends that would talk about this stuff and looked into Stoicism and Buddhism and just exploring. I just needed the freedom to be myself and explore. And being a rebel, you're not supposed to do drugs. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm doing drugs. Like, what have I become? But really, I learned it's just a plant. You use it wisely, sparingly, or not at all. But it's your choice. And so it just opened up my mind where I needed a little nudge into seeing that I could view life differently And so I shifted my paradigm how I wanted to and started giving myself a little credit, a little leeway, realizing I do make good decisions. I don't have to judge myself so harshly.
You know, there was a business tape. I mentioned this a lot because you brought up, and this will ring true with you. When I first started, late 20s, we had already had our fourth child. And doing business, I think I'm, doing the right thing. You come home, have dinner, you watch TV, and you do the channel surf. You go ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, ABC, NBC. And it was the same five stories in the same order. And I'm going, who are these people? I mean, it's, a country of 280 million at the time or something. And I'm going, we got five stories. That's it. This is what is important. And there's something. So that kind of bothered me.
Have you seen that commercial? Or I don't know if it's a commercial.
They're all saying the same thing.
Yeah, they're saying the same thing. Yeah.
Well, what happened was,
it's a threat to our democracy. And who wrote that script? So, you're asking yourself those questions. Who wrote that? Why are they all repeating the same thing?
So what we had was there was a tape series, a business thing, and it had, different descriptions of word pictures to describe something. They went like this. They said, the reason indecision is the worst decision is because you never see the problem from a different angle. Mm-hmm. You'll just make a decision, then you'll see, oh, okay, that may not be the answer, but this is, that kind of thing. And the example that they gave was that you're standing there looking at a telephone pole. You're up against the telephone pole, looking at a telephone, there's a telephone pole. Look at me, there's a telephone pole. But if you change your perspective and you step a little bit to the left or right, there's a bunch of telephone poles. And that's what happened watching the news on marijuana. I did marijuana and I'm going, there's a bunch of telephone poles, So I'm going, who watches this crap, So when you said that, it changes your perspective. It did the same thing to me.
But yeah, there's an essence to every food that you eat. Even a cucumber can be more enlightening than, a bowl of cereal. Not that you're going to reach for that every time, but, there are certain. And this is where I also developed some of my spirituality from nature, from plant medicine. And I've done a few things, some things I would not go back to because it didn't serve me other than that one time, just learning a lesson and moving on. Like, this doesn't sit well with me, but I'm not afraid of it. And you can't go into it willy-nilly. You can't go into it.
Yeah, I have a shaman.
Right. I think it's a great idea to have a trusted friend or a shaman, a shamanic-minded person. Even just a friend sitting there with you while you experience something to keep you safe or just to comfort you.
Where's your husband in this? Did he participate? Or did he kind of all watch still the kids? You go do you? I mean, what's he doing?
All of the above. He doesn't participate in what I participate in because he hasn't had the shift yet. And I say yet. I don't know that he ever will. A shift. Mm-hmm. I call it the big shift.
You see, this is why this is so interesting, fascinating, because, you're...
we're doing something that's never... I can't find anybody else who's doing exactly what we're doing.
What are you
doing? I'm sure there are people that do it.
Do what?
Where one partner is still in...
Matrix?
In the Matrix. Yeah. I'll say it that way. And glimpses
by choice or... Or it's just, it's inconvenient now? Or
I don't know the reason. I can't explain it. And so I've tried to make myself feel better.
You guys get along, right?
We get along because I've done the work that it takes in the therapy. Yes, because I want to understand him. My deepest desire in this whole world is to understand people on a fundamental spiritual level.
That's why I enjoy doing.
And that's why you're doing what you're doing.
I enjoy doing, and that's why I ask these questions. A lot of times I'll have, some, pretty big name people that are well known of whatever, and they want to talk about whatever it is that they want to talk about, and their thing that they're pushing or their thing that they're selling or their advocacy for somebody's a bad guy or whatever. And I'm much more interested in why they care. Why is it that you're here? I can sling a bunch of names, but I'm just going, why did you pursue this philosophy? Why did you pursue this person? Why did you pursue this issue? Why did you? But what was the motivation that you even wanted to do it? So that's why I'm asking you that, you know, nature or nurture, why is it that you even freaking care? See, the reason is because if I can find that, you know, bottle that, whatever that is, you know, experience that. Well, I went on, you know, I did ayahuasca and all of a sudden everything's different, you know, and or I did this or I did that or I did. And I'm going, if you could put somebody in that position, they take that class, they experience that thing, they watch that movie, they read that book, you know.
What's the essence of it?
Yeah. What was it that made them, you know, the person that they are? If I knew what the book was, if I knew what the movie was, if I knew, I'd have everybody do it.
Luckily,
you know?
There are so many different avenues.
Hell, I just like to find one that worked, you know. But it's a lot of times it is, you make the argument, is it nature or nurture? Were you born that way or is it something that happened to you?
Yeah.
You know, and that's why, you know, I start off with that because you came to this conclusion, these guys are messed up, and I don't get access. But, you know, we're done. While hundreds of other parents didn't care, didn't see it, didn't I just do this because I'm supposed to
I
do
know.
It.
Yeah,
but
I know
you
why.
Didn't.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I'm a seeker. I seek the deepest truth, and I feel like if there is someone on the other side.
This is where I get annoying, Why are you a seeker? You see my point?
Why am I a seeker?
There's always
because
an epiphany.
I'm curious.
Okay.
I love
to learn. What am I
going to
say? What am I going to say?
Why?
Why? Where did this guy, did, see, was
to
it
have
a grandparent?
Knowledge.
Was it, you know, a parent? They gave you a lot of books when you were small?
Oh, yeah,
they
my
read
mother.
To you at night.
My mother read to me. My grandmother sang to me. It's what it goes back down to is my ancestry. The ancestry that was wise and caring and nurtured me.
See?
It's nurture.
Yeah. See, there's it. Because it always, I remember I had this one conversation that was kind of resistant, and it's usually women. Guys always remember. They go, yeah, it was this one time and so on, I did whatever. Women are, I don't know, it's like a thing, man. You
know? It just is.
And we were having this conversation, and finally, I always said, you know, mother, father, grandparent, teacher, coach, you know, employer, something. I do like that. And then finally she goes, well, my brother got me the book. And I go, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't say brother.
Oh,
you know?
Well, then if we're going back down to that, maybe the first real major paradigm shift would have been when my mother showed me a book or a series about spiral dynamics. Which I'm not even going to elaborate on because I really want you and anyone else listening to look into that.
Spiral dynamics.
Spiral dynamics.
So it's
there's a book, there's a series, there's a YouTube video. There is, if you Google it or
it has
whatever
something to do
wanna...
with numbers that create a spiral design.
You know,
I remember somebody talking about and they were showing me paintings that they did.
It's
it was
humanity.
Based on numbers.
It's humanity starting from square one and going up through the levels of consciousness.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Declare Your Independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear. Claire, you're in the middle of me. Ernest Hancock. Another interview from MidFest, Mid-Continent Freedom Festival here in Spavinaw, Oklahoma. And we have a young woman that is married, three kids, Northwest Arkansas. She's been married 14 years, Ingrid Dykes.
Maybe the first real major paradigm shift would have been when my mother showed me a book or a series about spiral dynamics, which I'm not even going to elaborate on because I really want you and anyone else listening to look into that.
Spiral dynamics.
So it's there's a book, there's a series, there's a YouTube video. There is, if you Google it or
it has something to do with numbers that create a spiral design.
You know,
I remember somebody talking about, and they were showing me paintings that they did.
It was humanity. Based on numbers. It's humanity starting from square one and going up through the levels of consciousness.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
And they do a color coding system. And yeah. I think it is what it is. It's unique how they explain it. It made a lot of sense to me. And a lot of people right now are in
But it doesn't
a
have anything to
phase.
Do with numbers or math.
No.
No,
not
hers,
necessarily.
Hers had a math thing component to it. But it
there
was,
are others. That, yeah. That...
So spiral dynamics is a recognition of different levels of consciousness
yes.
in a human being, a human mind.
Yes.
And that comes from Buddhist tradition, Eastern medicine.
I don't think
Chinese,
it comes from any
you know,
tradition necessarily. It's just humanity, humans. We yeah. start off, and I guess I'll give you the lowdown, there's beige, where we start out as babies or people that have limited capacity, special needs, or animals could fit into that, where your consciousness is just survival. Mm-hmm. You're an infant in consciousness, in understanding deeper truths about life.
Wah, feed me.
Yeah. And then you move into the purple, mystical, tribal nations where they're warring with each other. Then you move up. And they're spiritual. They're mystical. When they look at the eclipse, we just had one. Mm-hmm. When they look at the eclipse, they look at it as a fearful thing, and God is punishing us. And so they teach their tribal people these teachings. And so it's word of mouth. But is it really founded in something? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. And then there's red. There's war. Red is. Yeah, war. Then you move up to yellow.
Emotional.
Yeah. Hitler. He just wanted to say us versus them, kind of let's just fight it out. Mm-hmm. You move into yellow and orange and blue. Blue is where a lot of people are right now. Blue and green. Blue is traditional, church-going people, patriotism. Like you want to uphold a value. And
conservative nationalism.
Oh, yeah,
kind of
absolutely.
Thing, yeah.
It's us together.
MAGA.
Together we can do
yeah.
this. MAGA. Perfect. Perfect analogy. Mm-hmm. And then green is Obama. Let's care about the environment. Let's, like the Greta Thunberg of, like, you know what it is. Take care of the planet, but on a dime. And we're also going to use resources. I don't know. I can't go into the controversy. You guys all know. Then there's orange with industrialism and structures and building and like creating a new world, but is it any different than what it used to be?
So what's the
at
aspiration?
The highest, the aspiration so far, they say it's teal. It's the Christ figure. It's understanding things on a macro level where you've graduated from all the other levels of understanding. Yeah, I can understand why you would want to be in a church. It's community. I can understand why you want to create new buildings and why you want to look into science and outer space and why we go to war and why infants need care and beyond survival. beyond, and you're into this teal level and higher, where they don't know what kind of levels it could go to, but it's from a perspective looking down on everything and seeing how can we make humanity thrive? How can we do things on a different level where it's never been done before, but we're doing it right?
And so this is like, something you got at a young age for your mom?
Oh, I just got this at a... I got this at the beginning of my shift, but my mother has always been someone that I can talk to, and I see her as so strong. Despite all she's been through, despite her emotional incapacity and incapability, she's been through a lot, and I understand where she's coming from now. And I've been hurt by both parents, but I see it from a different perspective now where I can respect and honor them. I can still do the commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, because I understand they were coming at it from a certain capacity. It was limited.
This is, you know, I
forgive them.
I wish we had hours and hours and hours to discuss. Maybe we will more over the weekend.
We're here for a while.
You know, well, I don't want to take up all your time, you know, but, you know, and Donna's sitting over here doing her work and everything. So we're both, I'm sure, getting a lot out of this. But I do want to take the time to delve into this because you as a mother went through this change during COVID. You had an awareness.
It's amazing.
Well, I'm still looking at you're putting it as that experience with the school and the time that you just something was off and you did a little scratch the surface and all of a sudden poof, you know, your world changed. But that doesn't happen with a lot of people. It doesn't happen with most people.
I know, which made it really hard to relate.
So I'm looking at why it happened. You know, there's something, well, you get triggered, but you still had to have a fundamental understanding of something in your life before that made you open to this change. See, there's a secret sauce in there somewhere.
Yeah, I wish I could figure it out.
Oh, man, get on the couch. We're going to talk about it. But the, you know, I'm still, your husband was just along for the ride on this.
Oh, yeah, he was confused.
He was like, yeah, whatever, man, as long as, you know, we're still married, it's all good.
Well, you know, I thought that he was judging me. I thought he was going to leave me. And all these projections that I was putting on him were actually just fears in my heart. I come from a blended family and divorce and abuse. And so I was carrying all these fears into my relationship. Mm-hmm. And I needed that to change, too. And I was praying. All of this was because of prayer. I've always been praying since a young girl. I just wanted to know Jesus. I wanted to know God. I wanted to know Spirit. So I used all those names.
To know, and what would to know? What do you mean to know?
To know the truth? The truth, yes.
The truth.
It was an ultimate search for truth.
See, that was one thing. The slogan that we have for our site, you know, Freedom's Phoenix, uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies.
Oh, yeah, and know thyself. I wanted to know myself. Like, where did I was always interested in personality quizzes and tests. And
you ever do a Myers-Briggs thing?
Oh, yeah, I've done it all. Done it all. And if there's something
what'd
I haven't done.
What did you come out as on the Myers-Briggs thing, you remember?
INFJ. But who knows how true that is? Because I change my mind sometimes.
I think it was IMTJ was a friend of mine. And then I was the commander, which was...
You're definitely an E.
Yeah, Ian.
You're an extrovert. You like to talk to people a lot. You're not afraid.
You know, that was, you know, people, you know, I didn't even know what it was. They go, oh, we know what you are. You know, and I'm, all right. You know, one thing that was interesting when I took it, you know, because I didn't even want to put it on my phone. I didn't want them to know. They don't know.
The,
screw them.
You know? But the
I said, I'll do it. If you do it on your phone, and I'll answer, and you just enter it. You know, there's a young guy. He's got, you got to, Ernie, you got to
make, make the
know.
Algorithm work for you. Come on.
So the so we went through it, and I could see, I think he was kind of surprised for, I'm not sure why, but he was. Nobody else was. But the I could see the questions I answered probably differently as an older man than I would have when I was younger.
Yeah.
You know, I think you can, you probably have a predisposition to certain things, but the intensity or you know, that was it, 1 to 5 or something like that. You do, you know, it's like, boom, that on that. Yep, yep, boom, 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 boom. Certainly got the decisive part, you know, but the didn't kind of in the gray area a lot. I mean, you know, it was your kind of, you know, a 5 on everything or a 1 or
right.
something like that. And it was, I could see myself answering differently if I did it 20 years earlier.
Right. Because we do change.
And what do you think? How much did you take that before or after your epiphany?
Before. And then I took it after, and it's pretty close. I think
one of
the
same,
letters.
But it was.
Yeah, and yeah. It could be wishful thinking. I want to be more perceiving than a certain, yeah.
Right, right, right. Well, that's interesting that you go on this journey. You know,
and all of these tests, mind you, point back to my deepest desire, which is to understand and to have freedom. I'm a free human, and so I had to explore what that meant to be free.
Were you before this change?
I was always wanting to be free, but now I get the permission to explore what that means.
Okay, where did you think you got the permission from?
I gave it to myself.
Ah, okay.
So finding God, it led me back to me, and that was so scary. Because
really?
I don't want to, yeah, because it's God versus Satan and in my old paradigm. And I didn't want to be on Satan's path. Satan wanted to do it all and get all the glory. I just wanted to know who God was. And so I was totally on that path. But God was like, well, so I'm going to pretend that I know what God was saying. And he was just saying, or she was saying, it was saying, be yourself, you make good decisions. And so I had all these mantras I said to myself, and I believed it. I started believing in myself.
Okay, let me
believing
share.
Believing that I had the capability to make good changes.
Let me share this with you. As a kid, you know, Pentecostal church of, you know, if the pastor didn't take his tie off and sweating, you know, you knew it wasn't over, you know. And so you had my grandmother, you know, it'd be, you know, they always did the fear thing. Oh, you'll go to hell and, you know, we'll have whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm small. I'm probably 4 to 6 around in there. I was, you know, preschool age. And I remember one time, you know, just the thought came over. It was a dream or something that, you know, the devil presented himself. That just meant there was a God.
Oh,
you know,
how so?
I mean, you know, you got, you know, all of a sudden the devil comes out and I go, ah, that proves there's a God. Screw you. I mean, you know, so it was that just thought process that I went through then made me not afraid of, you know, demons or the devils or all the scary crap they were trying to do. Because that just, you know, go, oh, well, then there's a God. Then I win. You know, ha, ha, ha. So that right there really had a big change or a difference in my life, that the more you see evil, the more impactful the power of good is, you know. And what we've seen with all of this crap that's going on, and that, matter of fact, there's a woman, her name's Melody Krell, Mel K. She has a show. Matter of fact, we were supposed to have her on this morning, but she had a bad internet connection, so we're rescheduling. But I first interviewed, she's an actress in Hollywood and went to Florida Visitor, retired dad, and one of the guys in the retirement area there was a 90-something-year-old intelligence community guy that goes, oh, Hollywood, huh? Let me tell you what the real story is. So she started, you know, picking it apart. She's a beautiful woman. She's been an actress, but she went to New York University for film. You know, so she was more in it academically kind of thing, did a lot of research stuff. So she started finding all the spirit cooking crap, all the pedophile, Satan kind of get their front seat.
Black magic. Heaven.
Yeah, I mean, weird dark, ass crap.
Dark.
So she was like, what the crap? So, and I'm like, it seems like it's a religion with these guys. They're so, she goes, yeah, it's exactly what it is.
The most ancient religion.
And that's, and to whatever benefit they get from that, you
energy.
Know.
Energy.
Yeah.
It's energy harvesting.
It's
and the government is getting it from our children. I wouldn't say every single person, because I don't know
enough
all of their names. But enough. Yeah.
Enough.
Right.
So this was, and I kept asking, I'm going, who are these people? Why are they? She goes, and it was that show just within the last couple of years, which is why I wanted to talk to her. Now Donna's rescheduling now while we're both traveling. It's just being a pain in the butt, you know, internet and stuff. But, you know, we'll get back together. And she's really taken off in the last year or two, you know, 500,000 subscribers kind of thing. And it is just the realization that it's these are bad guys. And it's the evil that just is so concentrated and so much a spiritual war.
We battle not against humans, but principalities.
Exactly. And that, and it seems like you came across that, you realized that, your faith has been
enhanced. And I read the Bible more now than I ever have in my life on my own because I want to. And it tells about natural law. Jesus Christ, to me, is the biggest rebel there ever was.
The rebel Jesus. There was a friend of mine that was a secretary at a small church in the Mesa area, you know, in Arizona. And he'd always sign his emails, and he was on a Second Amendment group. That's how I knew him, you know, from back in the 90s or whatever. But he always, at his sig line was the rebel Jesus. And the church said he had to take that off of his emails or he couldn't be the secretary anymore. And he's like, Asta.
Good. Goes, okay.
I am not taking that. He's the rebel Jesus.
It takes a lot to be able to say no to tyranny.
That, I don't know if they were tyrannical in it.
I don't know if they mean to.
They didn't mean to. They thought the rebel, it was just inappropriate, where some people think it's the most appropriate thing.
Well, it could be looked at as heresy.
He's turning over the money changers' tables, man. He was the rebel. That's what
got
him crucified.
Follow the money, yeah.
You know, the rebel Jesus. I forgot all about that till you mentioned that. You know, that is, you can see how there's so many, certainly as
you said, the law is important, but I am telling you it's done away with now. The law is fulfilled in me. I'm telling you right now, it's fulfilled. You don't have to pray a certain time of day. You don't have to abstain from certain foods. You don't have to whip and scourge yourself. Just
so,
know.
Well, what is it that you tell your children? You know, when you've had this, I mean, they probably think of you as always being this way, or maybe they don't.
They think I'm right at this age, but I'm telling them I don't know everything. You have to search within yourself. I can tell you one thing, and it's nice because we have, and I didn't appreciate this before, but my husband has a certain perspective and I have a certain perspective, and we meet in the middle on values. We value family. We value home and the sanctity of marriage. We value or union. We value teaching our children the right thing, and we value health.
Are you, I'll get a little intimate here, my wife and I, since she's there, she's probably going to yell at me, but she might be listening to something else. I don't know. Is she listening to the stream? Maybe not. But there was a time, I remember when it was like the summer of 08, and then we were traveling Pacific Coast Highway. We were doing a lot of Ron Paul stuff. You know, we were heavy in that. And finally, I just said, you know, we're not allowed to talk about religion between you and I because we were different in a lot of things. We got our own personal thing. And I'm just like, nah, that's just one subject that, you know, that it's so personal.
Oh, yeah.
That it's not even, you know, the spouses have to meet on it. And that's what sounds like you and your husband have, you know, do you talk religion or that's you just don't and you got your
own thing? It was really triggering for me because he wanted to be right, and he wanted to he wanted me to have a strict answer or like a set belief system. But when I kept saying, I don't know, I just feel, that was hard for him to understand. Or I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to do it just for show. But I just had to keep telling him the truth and communicate to him what I was experiencing. And that was hard, because I wanted to keep it all to myself. I didn't know how he was going to react, so I had a lot of fears surrounding that. And then I just kept doing it. I just kept telling the truth. I just kept communicating, because that's very important in a partnership.
Are you guys closer now because of
that? We are closer now.
Yeah?
Yeah, I feel like I can understand him and he can understand me. And I had to develop some more compassion. And I didn't realize that. I was looking into myself so much that I forgot that I should probably learn to understand him better too. And so I did. And then making things okay, because it's not, if I'm going to make this decision to stay, I might as well be all in and thrive, not just survive.
So there, that question even came up, you know, that, you know, I'm on a different path.
Yeah, are we going to split up?
Really?
Yeah. Because I didn't know any other way to do it. I don't know many people in this situation. And so I wanted to create it from scratch, knowing what I know now.
What do you think that you learned? What was the
big thing that I am not being abused by my man. What happened in childhood is so different from what's happening now.
So
in my marriage, he
treats
me like a queen, and he's not a patriarch. He's a patriarch of our family, and I honor that. But we make decisions together, and he has said that from the beginning. It's not.
So you were feeling oppressed by the maleness.
That's
masculinity.
Yeah, that's daddy issues. That's I think a lot of people can relate to that.
It's a thing. I know that. I'm kind of.
But it's
like,
also, yeah, it's patriarchy issues. I was told what to do all the time and never really valued for my opinions and my beliefs and my knowledge.
So let me ask you this. We're getting way off topic here, but this is fascinating. Because it's fundamental to what makes freedom-oriented people.
Okay.
You know, that, you know, come here. There's a common thread that you have at all of these freedom festivals. You know, the Liberty Community, the Lovolution, even, you know, crypto's got its own thing. You know, you have the people that get involved in crypto.
I see it.
Yeah, there's a whole nother range.
They want to create a new world.
You know, but there's a lot of overlap.
Oh, yeah, because it's based on the same principles. You can't really change that much. It has existed in one name or another. My mom always tells me, call it Herbert. It's still the same thing.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? You can live your life on Dash instead with some handy websites. Bitrefill.com has been accepting Dash for years and has a ton of big-name retailers and brands, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Plus, many of their gift cards are available at a discount. But what about paying your bills? Spritz.finance can do that, and they can send dollars to your bank account in case you still need those for some reason. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, at MidFest, Spavinaw, Oklahoma, where we're talking to a lot of freedom fighters that are just becoming aware over the last few years. And it seems that the primary motivation for them doing what they're doing was COVID and the lockdowns. Well, we're talking to Ingrid Dykes, and I'm just telling you, this is a very interesting conversation. Enjoy. This is fascinating because it's fundamental to what makes freedom-oriented people.
Okay.
You know, that, you know, come here. There's a common thread that you have at all of these freedom festivals. You know, the Liberty Community, the Lovolution, even, you know, crypto's got its own thing. You know, you have the people that get involved in crypto.
I see it.
Yeah, there's a whole nother range.
They want to create a new world.
You know, but there's a lot of overlap.
Oh, yeah, because it's based on the same principles. You can't really change that much. It has existed in one name or another. My mom always tells me, call it Herbert. It's still the same thing.
Herbert. Don't be a Herbert. That was a Star Trek thing. But Herbert is a tyrannical guy, whatever.
Oh, there we go.
You know, well, it was at, nah, don't want to get into Star Trek-y geeky stuff. But but you geeks out there know what I'm talking about. But the, it's interesting to me, and it's a gem of a conversation that we're having, because there is such a difference that should be embraced between men and women, and that honoring of that difference, that, because Donna is my radar screen. She adds so much more of her perspective on that I don't see.
Right.
So add mine to hers, hers to mine. So we get, you know, way more than 180, man.
Oh,
we
it's a great
see behind
blend.
Us, you know. And it's because, like, a good example of her, if she doesn't like someone, you know, they're not in our life. We don't do business with them. We're not hanging. You know, I'm sorry, man. My wife doesn't like you. We can't hang. You know, life sucks. Yeah, but we could go and I go, wife doesn't like you. You lose. Life sucks. I mean, and that doesn't happen, you know, often. I mean, I'm sure tell, you know, somebody's scumbag. But there's been times she goes, nah, I don't like that person. And they're written off. And because if I go against that, I always get the "I told you so," you know, told you so. So I'm just like, I've learned to trust.
Yeah, and we can add to each other's, we can add so much to the equation when we come at it from our own strengths and skills. Masculine and feminine are meant to be together.
When did you come to the realization that the patriarchy was not, you know, all-encompassing as they're trying to lead you to believe or make you think, that you saw the value of your husband's role? How did that happen?
Good question. Very good question. And I remember the first question I asked when I was leaving, when I began my ascent or descent, whatever you want to call it. When I made my exit for the church, it was because of the question, who is my heavenly mother then? If we have a heavenly father, who is the heavenly mother? And no one could give me a straight answer. And so I went to the Apocrypha, the Nag Hammadi scriptures that were found in the cave in 1947. And I started reading those things, extra biblical, and the world opened up.
Really?
Yeah.
This is my experience, even found the Apocrypha. Okay, I'll share this with you. All right, audience, you're just in for the ride here. Just get over it. The there was, you never throw a Bible away. I mean, you get Bibles accumulate. It's like, well, I don't need 14 Bibles. I can probably throw some of these ways.
You can have different versions of them too.
Right. So I was like, you know, you accumulate, you know. So they kind of got stacks of wherever the heck they came from whatever. And one of them I opened, you know, because I like just opening the Bible and it just gets some wisdom, or
flipping
flipping a coin or
exactly.
Open the Bible. I mean, you know,
flip a page.
Yeah, it's just, you know, start reading. Ah, well, that answered it. I'm good. And one of them, I did that, and it was a scripture I really liked, and it was a friend of mine's birthday. You know, he was a friend of mine from church. So I wrote, you know, I didn't recognize the book, but I'm like, yeah, what do I know, you know? So I did some phrase, and I said it to him. He goes, the heck are you talking about? What Satan crap was this? I mean, you know, where'd this come from? And I'm going, I don't know if this Bible, it was the Apocrypha, okay?
Okay.
Which was the Bibles that weren't put in the Holy Bible, the King James,
the books,
or whatever.
Yeah, the books that were excluded.
From the Council of Nicaea.
Exactly.
So the Council of Nicaea, which was Constantinople, was Eastern Roman Empire, that the Constantine comes in and they're you know, feeding Christians to the lions and stuff in the Colosseum kind of stuff. And then it kind of got to the point to where you can't beat them, join them. So it became the state religion. You know, all of a sudden it's now the Roman Caesar is kind of, all right, well, we're adopting this one because it has the best something. I mean, whatever it was. So they kind of bring it together. They have the council. They have the Council of Nicaea. They're going through what they're going to put in the Bible, what they're going to exclude. Then the exclusions of that made it into the the Catholic Bible or something. I think the Apocrypha is part of the Catholic thing or something. Anyway, it's available. So that's how I even heard about it. I didn't even know. I go, whoa. It's this Council of Nicaea thing. They did a Bible and they took some out. They decided,
right.
Well, I'm going, what
it's
the crap?
Mind boggling.
You know, there's so much. So you found this document, these books, how and why and what was it in it?
I was in a bookstore and a guy came up to me and he's like, what are you looking for? And I'm like, knowledge. And he said, okay, let me go to my car. And he came back and he gave me a Hebrew Bible, like a Hebrew Greek translation. And he gave me the Apocrypha. And he said goodbye. And in the books, he wrote his phone number just in case we wanted to get together. I gathered a group of people together and we had a little meeting just to talk about it more. But he just showed up. And I was looking for those books in the religion section at the bookstore.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was after moving here, just a few months after we saw that sign, you belong here.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy story.
I got one verse out of it, so I have no idea what it is other than what I just said.
I like
That's all I know. What is it?
Thomas, the Gospel of Mary, the Gospel of Philip, Tobit, Judith. And some of these things are really weird, but there's Wisdom of Solomon, and that is some deep stuff that I would recommend anyone going into this with an open mind and a prayer that you can learn some wisdom.
You know, As I scanned, the reason I didn't give it a lot of attention, because once I did, I kind of started reading it. It was kind of negative.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it was kind of dark.
It's all encompassing. It's just like the Bible. You have your dark parts, you have your wars, and there's a Book of Mormon, and people will poo-poo on that. But there's some wisdom in that too. There's all kinds of scriptures from other cultures and religions.
The whole side of my mother's family, grandma, my sister, all Mormon.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. I get a dose.
Yeah.
I got it, you know. So it was really, if I would sum this up, then we got, I know you got family. You got to get going here.
Yeah. Luckily enough, my husband just arrived. And
very cool. I'd like to meet him. You know, the one thing that I think that we can get from this is that the kernel of all that you've gone through was the desire for the truth.
Yeah.
Just tell me the truth. Quit BSing me. And you're all
right.
A bunch of lying sacks of snot. I'll do it better on my own.
Well, you know, God showed me that I can do some of it on my own. And I also can gain wisdom from others. It's okay to embrace.
What do you mean? Gain wisdom from others, did you say?
From others. Yeah.
And
yeah, it's finding a balance. That's the key, is finding a balance in between external and internal wisdom, intuition, and whatever else there is.
Intuition is a powerful thing.
Yeah, and it doesn't come easy. It comes through a lake of fire. A baptism of fire is what I call it. Because that's what I think Jesus is talking about. John the Baptist did the baptism by water, and Christ came in with the baptism by fire. And it took me a long time before I understood what that meant to me. And I don't know that that's true. I'm just saying it's what I experienced
as you
and
leave,
how I view it.
I give you, you know, the last word here. You know, where do you think this is going with your knowledge of looking at the right things, making the right decisions, yanking your kids out of the malls of Satan. I mean, you know, literally.
Yeah.
So as you're coming to this realization, how do you think this all ends? I mean, even in the next few years.
A great reset.
Right.
Of mind, body.
Greater reset.
A greater reset. Whatever you want to call it, Herbert, right? Mind, Herbert. Body, spirit. We're going to find out what's inflaming us. And inflammation can be looked at as fire, inward, or inside, flame, flammation, inside flame, inside fire. People talk about being on fire for Jesus. I'm on fire for what it means to be a Christ, a Christos. And that's an internal growth towards the light, towards God, a higher way of being.
Which finds you at Midfest.
Yeah, because everybody's in a search for truth, and we're all the rule that everybody abides by It's the do no harm principle. And it encompasses everything. It's love your neighbor. That's the one rule that Christ was like, okay, I see a lot of these laws. They're all good. They're all fine. But the highest law is love God and love thy neighbor. And so that's what I see here. That's what we're doing. That's why I bring my children and why I feel safe to bring them. Yeah, I'm vigilant. I make sure that I suss people out and I am observant. But I see a lot of compassion here.
Yeah, there's a lot of atheists.
There's
know?
So many different.
There's a lot of
cultural
different religions,
beliefs and
a lot
religions.
Of,
yeah,
and religion
or no religion at all.
Well, religion normally doesn't really come up that much. At the, I mean, everybody from the show, they know I'm Christian. You know, whatever, you know, the atheists, they just get over it. I mean, you know, it's just whatever. But that's one thing I really found, even in the Libertarian Party, are way more Christians than people understand. There was way more Christians in the Levolution than people really understood. But there was a lot of other too. There was a lot of, you know, gay. There was a lot of, you know, Eastern religion. There was a lot of not. There was a lot of. But there was the one commonality. It was to be free to have the conscience to worship or not.
Consciousness.
You know, it's just to be able to make up your own mind. So you don't
it's
see.
It's okay to make mistakes along the way. You don't have to be perfect. Perfect. I mean, perfection is wholeness, right? We're all trying to be whole in whatever way. And we can fill that hole, the void, with whatever works at the time. But
so are you feeling much more whole now than before?
Yes. And I say that with a sigh of relief.
So you're comfortable in your own skin. You're
absolutely.
Kind of, you're good.
Yeah.
And it's seen by your family and your husband.
Everybody's noticed a difference.
Yeah.
They might not be able to pinpoint it because of their own paradigm, but I feel happier and I'm making good decisions. My kids are thriving. Each of them is a grade level higher or half a grade level higher than what they were in public school. And I had to catch them up too. I taught a child to read. I'm teaching other children how to read. This fills me up with life and light and joy. I'm not changing. I'm not doing
out of the government schools. That is the first thing. Thanks for spending time with me. This is really awesome, Ingrid.
I love that you're doing this. I love that you're interviewing and you want to understand too. So
kindred
spirits here.
I do thousands of interviews. I've been doing this since 2003. This has been a lot, but I'll tell you, this is where I like to go. Is why are you this way?
It's my favorite question.
And you have shared some intimate spiritual journey with us that thank you. You know, this is, and I'm glad my wife got to listen to this too. And assuming she's listening, I think she's listening to something else. She's got headphones on. But the, you know, the one thing that I think we all get out of this, it's a journey, you know, and wherever you are now, there's still more growth to be done and not looking to the shiny badges of authority as if they freaking know. They're the impediment. They're in the way. And you found your own way. And now I want to meet your husband. This has been awesome. Ingrid, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
MidFest 2024, April 12th, I think. Yeah. April. I don't have my glasses on. I can't even read it. Yeah, 12th. You know, April 12th, 2024. Peace.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. Readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides an understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears is already matured.
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here. And declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, coming at you from Spavinaw, Oklahoma, 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 at MidFest, the Mid-Continent Freedom Festival, where we're just yakking it with interesting individuals. And we're getting some new people. You know, there's a lot of regular people that have come in, people we've talked to. Now, Dave Colopi, he and I have met and had dinner, got to meet his family and so on. He came out here from Los Angeles a few years ago. You know, it's been, how long have you been here?
Oh, it's been a little over 2 years now.
So 2 years ago, during the middle of, you know, scamdemic, his wife worked for the city of Los Angeles in some capacity, didn't she?
Right, right. She did. And, you know, she put in a lot of good years, was employee of the year 1 year. And things just went a little bit into, how can I say it, disagreement towards the end there.
Well, I remember, you know, now that, you know, you're here. She's not working for L.A. anymore?
No, that ended.
Yeah, it continued a little longer because what happened is they moved out here, found a place. You know, Mike Swatek said, hey, man, I found a place for you guys, you know, check it out. And I don't even know if you even checked it out. You just bought it, you know?
Pretty much.
You came out, and while your wife was still employed working online remotely, and she goes, well, you know, as soon as you don't want me anymore, you just let me know. So she had that for a while. And then you guys relocated, and you have two small children, right?
Right, right.
And a boy and a girl,
I
remember.
Yeah.
And they're probably right now, they're probably about 7 and 9, something like that.
They're 9 and 12, actually.
See,
yeah.
They
grow.
Got one, right? You know? So you made the decision to come out. This is a common thing. I mean, you know, as COVID woke up so many people.
Yep.
You know, even in the government, out of the government, everybody just like, there's a revolution coming. They're pulling the trigger on something. These guys are, they're bad. So when you guys decided Oklahoma, how did that come about from L.A.?
Well, when it came to the decision, really, it, you know, we started off where, okay, this place isn't working out for us. You know, you pay a certain amount of money to live a certain lifestyle.
Yeah, we're getting a little wind noise because we're outside, but
yeah,
you guys live with it with us and suck it up. All right, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. You know, you pay a certain amount of money to live a certain kind of lifestyle in Southern California. And, you know, I really love California. Like, it's one of those places where, you know, I love it so much, but then, you know, you get to the point where it's like, you know, you just can't take it anymore for all kinds of reasons, which I'm sure a lot of people listening to this can guess. So, yeah, we just got to the point where we're going to leave, and we're thinking, like, okay, where are we going to go?
So you were downtown, though. I mean, you're, like, in the city.
No. Oh, no. No, we were actually about 45 minutes north, well, maybe closer to an hour north of central L.A. in, like, a little kind of an old mining high desert town.
Really?
It was, yeah. And it was nice. It was fairly rural, but it just got to the point where it just wasn't good enough, especially with the onset of you know, the COVID hysteria.
Yeah, and all the Karens telling you what mask you got to wear and stuff.
Right, and you know, our friend circle over there, it's, you know, we just felt like the stand with, you know, non-compliance was just not really strong enough. Even though we met a lot of great people, like in the Freedom Cells, and made a lot of good friends, but it just, you know, it just wasn't happening. It's kind of like, you know, you have 10 people holding hands, and there's an avalanche coming, and you're going to stand there and take it. And we just said, you know what, we're just going to kind of move off to the side and do something else. So we made that kind of painful decision to leave. We felt we really had no choice. But,
well, what is it that you did? What's your expertise?
Well, I came from a media communications background, like filmmaking and music and video tech and audio and this kind of thing.
Why don't you take your chair and set it over here? I think you're back to the wind.
Oh, yeah. That could be it.
Wouldn't be so loud.
Yeah, give me a moment here.
Yeah, you know, as I remember, they were here. They're very excited about moving here. And they found a place, you know, with a little bit of acreage and a home and a community. And Oklahoma here is really, you know, kind of leave me aloneist. And, you know, as you made friends here and so on, what was the fastest way to do that? Usually it's like a church or some club or group or Facebook or something. I mean, you know, how did you hook up with people?
Really was, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to Mike. You know, he Mike Swadek. He really got us over here. You know, helped us find a place, looked at some stuff, and Mike introduced me to his circle of friends. And of course, Midfest was heating up. Things were going on. I think we were here for probably about maybe 6 weeks before the first Midfest we went to, and kind of took off from there.
Was that the first one we met at?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I think I met you at Jackalope maybe a year or two earlier than
really?
That.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, so briefly.
So you're trying it all, man. You're trying to see what's up. You know, well, with the children, is there government schools that you're using? Are you homeschooling? You got a co-op? Or how are you doing the education of your children?
Oh, we've been homeschooling since the beginning. In California, we were doing it. Pretty much.
Wow, they allow that?
Yeah, California for a while was actually fairly homeschool friendly, and then around the time we were getting ready to leave, it really was starting to get clamping down a bit more. And I don't know if you know this, Ernie, but Oklahoma is arguably the number one state in the country for homeschooling. It's the only state that has in its constitution, its state constitution, that says, basically parents have the right to educate their children however they see fit.
Oh, yeah. What a concept. How did that happen?
Imagine that.
Must have been Native Americans said, hey, man, out of my face. In Arizona, it's pretty – well, it was. I mean, heck, we left and didn't look back, it was 30 years ago. But the it was the Mormon influence. They're definitely – our family or God's definitely not yours, Uncle Sam, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's always – I don't know if it's a cultural thing as I think, we get in a lot of arguments, Dr. Frank, we do the Trump Report, and he really emphasizes culture a lot, but without defining it. And for me, America was intentionally set up for a culture of leave me aloneism. I mean, it was, the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights was, the culture of, I don't give a crap what you do, go do you, worship the way you want, associate the way you want, say what you want, do what you want, get whatever guns you want, but how you exercise your freedom, that's up to you. I don't care that your internal family dynamic of what not our business, but it increasingly, because there's a WHO thing coming up here next month in May, to where they're going to try and get United Nations, World Health Organization control of everybody's body. That is I'm glad you're doing that, just so we can have that we can have that misunderstanding understood.
Right.
So, what's your view on how Oklahoma compared to California got into your life, into your business, and your permitting of everything, your children? Give me the difference of, is it better here?
I'd say, yeah, it's a huge leap up in terms of, freedom and that whole leave me aloneism. I mean, we're over here, we got a little bit of land, it's not, a huge amount, but we're homesteading, and there's no real permitting required for, just about anything. Neighbors kind of leave you alone, but they're friendly enough to say hello and associate whenever people are in the mood. California, I mean, I remember trying to put in or wanting to put in a ham radio tower, a small one, and they had all these regulations, and I think it was going to cost me like $1,100 just to ask the county for permission.
To ask.
And they might say no.
Welcome to Declare Your Independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here, and declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, coming at you from Spavinaw, Oklahoma, 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 at MidFest, the Mid-Continent Freedom Festival, where we're just yakking it with interesting individuals. And we're getting some new people. You know, there's a lot of regular people that have come in, people we've talked to. Now, Dave Colopi, he and I have met and had dinner, got to meet his family and so on. He came out here from Los Angeles a few years ago.
California, I mean, I remember trying to put in or wanting to put in a ham radio tower, a small one, you know, and they had all these regulations. And I think it was going to cost me like $1,100 like just to ask the county for permission.
To ask.
You know, and they might say no. Yeah. You know, that's I was like, I don't know, just kind of said a lot right there.
I'm going to be, I'm not even begging for forgiveness. I'm just ignoring. You know? But the when you come out here, you mentioned freedom cells as a mechanism that you played with when you were in California.
Yeah.
You know, tell me about that. How'd you come across that, and why would you even do it?
Oh, well, you know, when the whole COVID scenario was really, you know, taken off and it didn't seem like it was going to get any better, which it didn't for a few years there, I try to remember how exactly I stumbled upon it. I think I'd heard of it, and then somewhere, maybe Telegram, you know, I looked it up, and I showed up at one. I think it was in Santa Clarita, and I met this really cool guy, Art, and some other people that were in there, and they were just, like, wonderful people, you know, really, you know, had each other's backs. You know, we were really trying to do the, you know, try to live our lives normally and just be a kind of a beacon for people who
in the middle of COVID.
So yeah.
That was kind of the rallying cry or something.
Right, right. And, you know, I can't even tell you how many times people, you know, not fights we got into, but it you know how it is. You walk in a place without a mask or something and someone just wants to give you a hard time and, you know, it's just
stupid. I never confronted them. I just, like Donna, she just kept walking. You know, you got to tackle me, you know. And I'm just like, okay. And I walk out. You know, I'll go over here. Heck, we'd stop places with the bus just to go into a Cracker Barrel because we knew they were going to kick us out. So we'd go to the, you know, the whatever little mom-pa thing next door. Ha-ha, we're here because they won't. And we just did it as entertainment, you know, just because don't care. But the have a story to tell. But it is the attitude here. Wasn't there a bunch of you got a mask up government employees? Where how come you don't have a vax people in Oklahoma?
Well, by the time we got here, there wasn't really a whole lot of that. You know, you'll still see the stragglers with, you know, walking around outside with a mask or, you know, in Walmart or sometimes even in cars here in Oklahoma. It's rare, but they're still out there. But nobody was really enforcing anything. We got here, it was really normal. It was incredibly normal. In fact, when we went to Arizona on a trip somewhere, I think it was maybe the summer of 2020, you know, going to Arizona was just amazing compared to how California was at the time. And then when we came back, we were just dreading that ride coming back. And we just knew like 100%, like we're just no more complying with anything. We're just going to play hardball.
Well, your wife working for the city of Los Angeles, they have, you know, conversations with her?
Yeah, I can't get into too much detail with that because there's still some pending things with
pending.
That. But, yeah, you know, she tried to be reasonable. She just felt
there's no reason.
Yeah, you can't reason with people that aren't going to be reasonable about anything. You know, we just, you know, it's our bodies, you know, our lives. We felt that the imposition was just way overstep.
Well, I mean, enough that you moved. You changed. Unfortunately, your children are young. They don't know any different. You know, they're like, ooh, more grass. Yay. You know?
Right.
We get to have white Christmas. But the people that you were, you know, kind of talking to, your neighbors, fellow employees, you know, or workers, and how did you argue with them that you were taking this position to the point you were moving? I mean, did you have family there?
No, not really so much in the way of family. We were kind of on our own, in our own island, away from pretty much all our family. They're kind of spread out over different parts of the country. But, yeah, when it came to the others, I mean, we had, you know, some friends that were, they would kind of bend things a little more in private. But we just felt like really alone in this, this battle against, it's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, you know, like where'd everyone go? Like, do I know you anymore? When we said we were leaving, we had somebody, a friend of ours, you know, she thought we were moving to this place called Tehachapi, which was over in Kern County, which we used to like to go to. It was just one of those places where it was way more lax. So, you know, once every week or two, we would drive an hour and 5 hour 10 minutes to Tehachapi to this coffee shop where we were actually treated normally. They're like, wear a mask.
In California.
Yeah, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, we don't care, you know. And it just feeling some normalcy was great. And then coming back. But, yeah, when we said we were going, I mean, because people were like, you know, well, you know, you're going to get your shots and you're going to follow along, right? Eventually, right? Because they're going to fire you. You know, you're going to be gone. And we're like, no, we'll just sell and go. Like it was that quick of a decision. Like, we're not going to do this. We'll cash out everything we can and we'll get the hell out of here.
You know, there's a lot of, when you're dealing in a place, especially like California, I mean, what is the draw? And it's Southern California is probably the biggest thing. It's nice weather. You know, it's like Arizona. I mean, it's a desert.
Right.
You know, LA is a freaking desert, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know that. It's a desert with oil rigs.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know there's a lot of oil rigs, you know, in LA too.
Yeah.
There's really no draw other than, I guess, the beach, or if you live on the beer, you got your...
If you want to get through the traffic and pay all the whatever.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we kind of stopped going mostly to the beach. I like to surf, so I used to go to the beach, you know, like super early in the morning, you know, once, you know, on a weekend, a lot of weekends for a while there, and it was great, you know, like just getting out there surfing.
Now they arrest people who go out and surf.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, I saw a guy paddleboarding and... They stand on the beach and arrest him for paddleboarding by himself out. And I'm like, you know, this is stupid is as stupid does, and there doesn't a whole bunch.
Yep.
So I'm like, no, that's not going to go well. So you're here. You hooked up with Freedom Cells here, or just the local community with Mike and stuff?
You know, we kind of mix it up a bit. I mean, there's Freedom Cells. There's, you know, just various circles, you know.
You know,
call
I know
them allies. Or
I know Derek and John well, Derek Bros, John Bush, and Derek really is pushing the Freedom Cells.
Right.
And I hear that a lot. A lot of people did that. It's really not organized from a central command anywhere or something. It's just you join the Freedom Cell somewhere around you, and people have, you know, how does it self-regulate? Do you, like, man, I don't like this cell, I'll go to this one.
I suppose you could. I think they say, like, you know, it's best to create them in groups of, like, eight individuals or eight families.
Yeah.
Tends to work the best that way. I like the whole concept of just, you know, exit and build. You know, it's like homestead, you know, create your own, you know, counter-economics, you know, trade amongst each other.
Everybody's buying up goldbacks here.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah,
goldbacks is a thing. I can see that coming.
I love it.
Yeah, I bought a bunch from Al and from Mike, you know, just to start using. I have some. I need to get, you know, more before they're $1 billion. Oh, my God, gold going up. But the to use in the community that we're in now and start to introduce that and everything, has it become used? I mean, how are you guys making use of the goldbacks here?
Well, I'm just kind of collecting them right now. I every time I think about
you
using
holler.
Them, then I'm like, I've I've got to give some up, you know. But I'm kind of keeping them mostly for you know, when certain things hit the fan type scenario and we need stuff to trade with. But I'm trying to also. Did you hear about the ATMs? They have gold back ATMs
here.
Well, not here, but in general, I guess they're
awesome.
It's a thing, right?
Awesome.
I'm trying to see if I could maybe get into that space.
That
a little
would
bit.
Be that would I would I think that would be a thing, because this is, you go to like Dubai or something, you know, Saudi Arabia, they got little grams and ounces of gold you buy at vending machines. the Al Sam going, okay, somebody better be guarding that vending machine. But the gold backs are, that is really cool that you could just get them out. Why not? I mean, it's just gold.
Right.
It's gold and plastic. What do you care?
Yeah, if people don't fully understand. It's just like having, or a lot like having, like just bills in your wallet, you know, carrying around. I mean, but one gold back, I think, is worth currently, what, $5 USD, maybe?
Yeah, it's like $5 that it trades at. It used to be $4, now it's up to $5. But the actual gold that's in it is probably now about, I don't know, maybe $3 or something like that. But that's a premium you have for having a convenient bill.
Right.
You know, you get
it's
that.
It's more than gold.
Yeah, you got to pay that much freaking just to get the gold anyway. Yeah,
it's a gold plus a technology that makes it so you can pass it around very
easily.
Yeah,
it's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
And I'm, but this is why I have $70,000 hoodies and stuff in my closet from Bitcoin, because we were of the mind that you have to spend it. It had to be used in commerce. We did. Plus, I wanted to kind of push it, and I couldn't buy them faster than I could spend them, you know. So I'm not filthy, stinking, crypto rich. But the unless you want my hoodies. But the it was our mindset. We understood that use of it is what was going to give it its value. And I see the same thing in gold backs. You know, as we're, I'll probably be the guy that, wow, I wish I kept all my gold backs, you know, but you want to get it in commerce and have people use it and get it spread around.
Right. And I, that's why I think, you know, having gold back ATMs in your community,
that's, awesome idea.
That's a great way, you know, say you walk into your local hardware store and in the corner there's this ATM and maybe someone takes a closer look at it and they're like, gold backs, what the heck is this? And then, you know, you start spreading it around the community with the mom and the pops and kind of go from there.
And you know you're winning when it's the drug dealers and the hookers are using gold backs. I mean, that's a thing, you know. So how to do that? Well, a lot of times people do it with waitresses. You know, it's a tip.
I've heard that.
They explain it. Mike's really big on that. And you know, a lot of the guys are. You got to kind of use it. So I'm seeing that as a technology. Crypto, it's very cool. There's some I like more than others, but all the government involvement and the ETFs of it and the GoldmanSachs.gov coin central bank digital currency thing, and then the wallets change all the time. The exchanges, you know, have it or don't have that you can liquidate one. You know, it's still, you know, it's a thing. You know, I get some. I just kind of set them off to the side and check it later, and I go, woo, okay. Glad I kept that, but I'm not. You know, it's not a – I don't see it as private, as certain, as immediate as something like a gold back or just silver.
Right.
You know? So I'm thinking it's going to make a thing.
Yeah, and, you know, I kind of look at crypto kind of maybe, you know, like more like long-distance transactions.
Right.
You know, have more use case
online
scenarios.
Online kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I love
definitely
it.
Definitely easy for that.
Right. It's great that we have these alternatives now, you know, for trading things.
Right.
You know, I love that. People are always coming up with new and inventive ways of you know,
freedom
money.
Freedom finds a way.
Yep.
Finds a way. So what's your plan for your land? You got how much? You got a couple acres or something?
Yeah, well, it's probably, I don't know, maybe pushing an acre and a half, depending on how you kind of measure it out.
Okay. Well, I'm familiar. Yeah. We had, I think it was 1.78 or so. It was almost 2 acres.
Okay.
And I had one big field that was the 0.7, you know,
yeah.
That it was cool for doing whatever, big soccer game or mm-hmm. baseball, grandkid, something. But all of our stuff, our aquaponics, the chickens, turkeys, goats, everything that we did, swimming pool, the home, the parties, was on about an acre. And I liked having almost 2 acres, because it was kind of a buffer to the neighbors that had the same kind of thing in this area we were. It's like horse property thing. And I can see, you got an acre, you can do a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can feed yourself. You can have plenty. You can park your RV. I mean, you know, there's, you get over an acre, you got something going on.
Right.
You have a couple of acres, even more. So you came in. How developed was it? What was the house like, and what have you done since
then? Oh, kind of an older house, you know. It was in decent shape. You know, there's a few things that could have been done. So, you know, it's still got the old wood paneling that has been painted over, and, you know, some wallpaper in one room that, you know, we would never necessarily have really chosen. But, there's things like that. But we've been putting more effort into just becoming more, like, self-sufficient. You know, we've got septic. A greenhouse is in there now. We've got our own power generation. Things like this. You know, it's really important.
Well, how much power are you generating?
We can generate – well, the solar panels will do a theoretical, I'd say, like 16 kilowatt.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. So you got enough generating.
Yeah. I mean, that's under the most ideal.
Phoenix sun, but I mean, right. 16 is 16. I mean, that's a lot.
Most days, like now, like with the sun, I mean, it's powering the whole property. Well, and generating excess.
How much battery capacity do you have?
It's near 30 kilowatt.
Okay, so you can charge from like dead. You're in a few hours.
Yeah.
So it's by noon. You're done.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's.
So you're doing an electric dryer in the afternoon.
Oh yeah, I mean
we got go dry your hair in the afternoon. We're charged up. Everybody used the power.
It's been pretty easy to manage the power usage. I mean, that was just kind of common sense, you know, like. Is the sun shining? Is it nighttime? Or is it stormy? I mean, there's all different ways.
Well, it's a lot on the grid. A lot of people, they're miserly during the day or mm-hmm. during the morning when everybody turns on their coffee makers in the evening and everybody's got their air conditioner and all that. When you're on solar, all that day usage is like, woohoo, man, powered it up. And then at night when you start to wind down, you're just powering lights in the TV.
Pretty much, yeah.
So it's really not that big
a deal. The battery
deal.
Takes over for the, at that point for most of it.
Right.
But it's a hybrid grid system. So we're
you are selling to the grid.
Yes. The idea is that, we use the best of everything to our advantage. All the excess that we generate, we just sell it back to the power company. And they give us credit for the following month on the bill.
So, well, are you... coming out ahead, writing you a check.
Well, we're early into it. We're like kind of a few months into it right now with our system set up. So the first couple of months, there was a lot of weird technical issues that we were trying to sort through, dial it in just right. And it's like, there's breakers on the sides of these batteries that were covered with this panel that we never saw. But, oh, that's why this one wasn't working for a couple weeks.
And, right.
You try to go through like customer support sometimes and you get the runaround, not really the runaround, but they're not where you are, so they only have so much troubleshooting ability. But
we kind of got educated, with the Love Bus, because it's a lot of the same systems mm-hmm. that we're doing, and just the understanding of how things work. And it's you can power just about anything. It's like, well, I need a mini split to cool the house or five panels will run that.
Yeah.
Done. What are you going to do? Are you going to cut down on buy five more panels that cost nothing? They're getting cheap. It is amazing. I've been buying a lot of my panels. I have probably like 12 kilowatt power generation, which means more than you because I'm in Arizona. Get over it. But it's really not that hard or expensive just to upgrade. It's where you put them. It's the rack you build. It's mm-hmm. how much land you have. Where do you mount yours?
Ours are up on top of our workshop. And we decided we're just going to max out the entire surface roof space for solar panels. So that's what we did. And, so far so good. In California, I don't know if you realize this, but we had solar at our house in California. And it's the regulation is it has to be grid tied. And you're always having to feed power to the power company. I think they buy it from you at a fraction of what they sell it to you back, right? And that's the way it works. And then you get your system approved, and then let's say you want to add to it, you can't just add to it. You have to actually put in a second solar system with like a second inverter to be able to do that.
Ridiculous. And we're done with California. So the time that you're spending on your property is doing. Do you work or are you working on the property?
Well, the past 2 years mostly we've just been digging in and working on the property. I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm circling back to
more of my projects, like in the film world, and I kind of got into the financial side of things a bit. A little side gig I was doing for a long time, even in California, which was with this merchant account stuff, like payment processing. So, you know, my whole thing is, you know, if you got to take credit cards, you want to take credit cards, e-checks, and you want to keep the most amount of money in your pocket and give the processors and the, you know, the underwriting banks the least amount, you know, I can work really great deals for that.
Yeah, I remember we talked about that before. That was your thing. You know, the payment systems that they have now for credit cards, because I had various businesses, and there's always the credit card guy coming in, you know, do you a deal.
Oh, it's a fierce competitive business.
That is why I bought the first chunk of my Bitcoin was in, I think it was like 13 to 15 running there, when they're at the Consumer Electronics Show, and I saw NCR, which makes point-of-sale machines, you know, mm-hmm. cash registers and so on, that they're going to be taking digital payments. And I go, here we go. Well, it's going to be central bank digital currency, and maybe they could do – and now it just got – went to, you know, they just use their iPhone or a pad or whatever, and they just take digital and they can suck it, but and somebody will set them up. But your credit card machines that you're doing, do you have or you see a future? Are they starting to be set up to take crypto?
I haven't personally seen much in the way of crypto with what I've been dealing with. You know, it's really just straight up, you know, credit cards. They're doing, you know, things like, you know, Apple Pay and the Google Pay and those kinds of things. But it's, I haven't really seen much in the way of crypto.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Dave Colopi, he and I have met and had dinner, got to meet his family and so on. He came out here from Los Angeles a few years ago. You have a community that trades in real money for, like, food and work and carpentry and, you know, help and landscaping, ranching, gardening, farming, something. I mean, is the alternative economy growing here at all?
You know, it is to a certain extent. I mean, we find that a lot here at MidFest. We have meetings in, you know, with people who are here with different circles that are in Tulsa, you know, usually like once a month we'll get together. And, you know, people speak, people have things for sale, you know, offers. And, that community, it's kind of like, you know, these circles kind of moving within each other that do that sort of thing. I haven't seen quite so much of that, like in sort of just like, you know, the community beyond sort of like the, you know, the freedom minded community. Although people here tend to be just in general more freedom minded anyway. So I think.
Well, I'm certain there's a bartering aspect of it. You know, Fred lends out his tractor for them to do some whatever for him if I need potholders. I mean, there's, you know, there's always that. And you have these small community parking swaps or weekend farmers market kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Do you attend those?
Yeah, we've gone to some farmers markets, and we try to go to community events, you know, different, you know, festivals. Like they have the Dogwood Festival nearby. Mm-hmm. I believe this time of the year. It might be next weekend or so.
When do the Dogwoods, is that spring or fall that the Dogwoods really do their thing?
I think that's like now.
Yeah, I remember right hiking one year here, and you find it's trees with little white flowers on them. They're almost like cherry blossoms or something.
Yeah, they're real pretty.
And it's, you know, you can tell it's a dogwood. It's nice. Because we're going to be looking for, you know, what plants, how we're going to do it. It's got to be Arizona friendly, you know, but lots of cactus. But I'm really looking forward to getting closer to the soil. I mean, get grounded. I mean, literally, you know, you're working on the land. How much time do you spend on your land?
Oh, you know, just about every day. I mean, my wife, she's kind of like, you know, she's the lead on all that, you know, and I'm here, you know, what do you need help with, honey? You know, I come in and try to work it and, you know, chickens are over there. Go do that. Now, okay. You know,
how many chickens do you have?
We got about maybe 22 thereabouts.
Yeah, that's good enough. That keeps you in eggs.
Yeah.
You know, how ours in Arizona, we could have them lay pretty good year round, you know, as long as we kept misted in the summer and stuff. But they were about 18 hours per egg per chicken. You know, that's kind of how you can figure it out.
Right.
So in a 24-hour period, you kind of get, if you got, you know, 50 chickens, you'd wind up with, you know, in a 24-hour period at least, I don't know, 50, 60, 70. Yeah, I mean, it was a lot.
How do they do in the winter in Arizona?
What winter?
There you go. That answers the question.
The well, a lot of times they're supposed to be molting, I think, in the spring. So they just didn't. I mean, I don't know. They're molting. I don't see any. I didn't pay that much. That's why I like chickens. They didn't bother me. I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, the grandkids went out and got the eggs. Donna took care of them and, you know, feed. And we just, they were on autopilot. I love chickens. I'm definitely getting chickens because I ain't got to do squat for chickens. Honey, I need you. Nope, nothing I got to do.
We're thinking about getting some guinea fowl next.
Why, for meat birds or something?
No, really for, like, tick control.
Really?
Yeah, I hear they're beasts when it comes to ticks. And they're pretty easy to take care of. They mostly take care of themselves. When they're young, they're really, I don't know, fragile from what I hear. You got to kind of get them through that period.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, being out here, like, I originally grew up in the Northeast in New England. And, you know, we had ticks. You know, we had hot, humid summers, ticks, cold, brutal winters. And then I get really spoiled in SoCal for a number of years.
Right.
There's like, I'm like, where'd the bugs go? Like, there's hardly anything.
Well, that's one thing that I like about Arizona. You're not dealing with bugs.
Oh, I love that.
You know, bugs is not a thing. I had my sons, after they graduated high school, they took my car and said, you know, peace, go explore America. And they went off 6 weeks the summer visiting family and friends and going to vacation on the coast with Donna's in-laws and kind of got to be free and do. And they got a dose of America. And I go, one thing, just keep in mind. When you're stopping, you're camping, it's afternoon. Oh, isn't it green? It's great. Bugs.
Yeah.
I go, you just want to go back to Arizona. Bugs, I will see you again. So they definitely got a dose of that. They paid attention to that. And they're like, yeah, no, that sucks.
And I'm a big fan of the desert. You know, like, I love it.
It's clean.
Yeah, there's something about it.
It's irradiated. But right. It's really, I'm looking forward to it. There's only from like 10 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon for about 8-9 weeks, it's, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, don't go out during that time.
Go from air conditioning to air conditioning, right?
I know. It's an air conditioning hop. You know, when they had auto start on cars, yeah, and it's already air conditioning, I go, that's not summer.
Right.
Bunch of wimps, you know. But it's, I'm looking forward to it. We'll be documenting that. And I think it's going to be, where we're at, there's a lot of land. And Donna's a real estate agent. I just know there's going to be. It's already starting to. I can see what's coming.
Did you know that we have desert here in Oklahoma?
Wouldn't surprise me. I don't know where.
If you go, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, 3-4 hours west of right where we are, there's some, I think they call it Little Sahara, a bunch of sand dunes.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's supposed to be pretty wild. I haven't gone.
Out there are their motorcycles?
Yeah, it's going towards the panhandle.
Yeah.
I think there's more in the panhandle or some kind of desert, but. I mean, we're in what we call a green country, right? So we're in the foothills of the
green
Ozarks.
Here.
Yeah, but Oklahoma has a lot of terrain and climate. It's really diverse.
Yeah, no, America's beautiful. We've been back and forth and back and forth across. There is not a shortage of land. There's not a shortage of resources. There's not a shortage of communities that are just outside of all the. You see on the news and the politics, and you know, over half the country is, okay, you guys are just nuts, you know. So I can see when things go to crap, which it will. There's no getting past this debt thing and the dollar and all that crap. When it does, now some people are going to survive it, some aren't, and the ones that aren't, they might get violent. When you got to feed your baby, you know, they you know, let's go get some. And so how is the defense or security mindset here, gun control or guns or?
Oh, you know, guns are just so common, you know. It's, it's peaceful. You know, people, you just expect people to have.
Yeah, armed society, polite society.
That's it. Yeah, that's the phrase I was trying to think of. Yeah, it's, you know, it's pretty cool. And, you know, one of the other things that I do that not everyone knows is dog breeding with Ambulnio Mastiffs. I don't know if you've heard of that breed, but they're a companion guard dog. And, you know, you get a one, two, or three of those, and you keep them on your property. And
three? A Mastiff is like, God, they get up 180 pounds or some crap, don't they?
Well, these will go, like the males will probably be in that, like, I don't know, 140 to 160 range. On average,
damn.
Females are usually 115, 130, maybe. You know, they're manageable. Like, they, you know, but it's, you know, it's
manageable with a with a club. You know, we are dogless for the first time in our whole my life. You know, we've always had dogs, and Don and I, we got them when the kids were really small. But our last dog. We put down here, as a matter of fact. It was last year, I think.
I remember that. That's when we had dinner, right? Were coming back from that, I think, right?
It was last year, a year before. Yeah, well, Donna did it.
Donna did it, yeah.
Because I was like, I don't know, this dog put that down a long time ago.
Right.
Up to me. But it just, well, I'm like, man, you're being mean to that dog. I mean, come on. But so when it started to go out and they do the painkiller or whatever before they do the something, she said it was like, oh, thank goodness.
Right.
It's about time, man. Take the pain away. And but since then, because we've been so mobile and then the bus, and we get on the land, I wanted to have a real dog, not a little rat dog.
Right.
But it's what kind. And if it's going to go inside at all, I'm for getting a bigger poodle or a schnauzer or something that doesn't shed. I'm done with shedding.
Okay.
You know, no. Now, if we get a shedding dog, like I love German Shepherds, always had them. My son's got them. They're cool as heck. But stay outside.
Well, I'll tell you what. You when you get a chance, you take a look at ozarkambulnio.com. And so it's AMBULLNEO. ozarkambulnio.com, and when you're ready for one, you let me know.
Not 100 and something pound. No, I mean, I don't need to be, unless I need it to pull my tractor or something, you know. This is so livestock and other animals. You got your dogs that you're working on, you have chickens, anything else?
Well, a couple house cats that we haven't seen, a mouse in the house for the last 2 years almost. And,
I know they like that.
Yeah.
When I was a kid in Florida, you know, cats were not really even thought of as pets. And, you know, this cat lady apartment, you know, dwelling cat thing was totally new to me.
And mostly over here. I mean, people just, there's just a lot of, you know, farm dogs that just roam around and cats that are just, you know, kind of feral, and they're just, you know,
they know where they can get fed and they know where the mises are. So this is that's how we saw cats were rodent control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're lucky we let you know stay here, and it's, you know, that kind of thing. But and then of course you get a lot of fixing the cats because they all breed.
Oh yeah.
You know, so if you're going to take any responsibility for the cat, you might want to, you know, neuter them or something. But there's a lot of benefit to having animals. Now, Mike has these big, what are they called, Pyrenees or something?
Big
white ones.
Yeah.
And they just look hot all the time, you know, because they got a coat.
A lot
on
of fur.
Them.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's, you know,
I get hot for them, just like looking at them. Like,
a predator couldn't even bite through their coat.
It's like 95 degrees and, you know, high humidity and you know, like walking up with
that
fur coat.
Suffering.
Yeah.
But the foliage around here, is there a lot of hunting? Are you getting deer?
Yeah.
Things go to crap as, you know, get my hunting rifle, their hunt.
There's deer. There's lots of hunting. I mean, it's all big. I mean, it's, you know, we're in like the just about the most northern part of the American South, you know. And I wasn't even sure when I got here. There was an old timer that was that came by, and I asked him. I said, "Hey, do you consider yourself a Midwesterner or Southerner?" And he said, "You know, he's probably 80 years old or something." He's thinking, "Huh, you know, no one ever asked me that before." I'm like, "Really?" He thought about it for maybe the better part of 10 seconds. And he said, Southerner. So, yeah.
Well, Missouri's right next to you, right?
Which is technically not part of the South. That's Midwest.
I have a friend that lives there. You know, there's a lot of people that come up from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's people here from Arkansas.
South, right?
Yeah, Arkansas, definitely Southern.
Southern, yeah.
You know, even though it's not too far away, they got that Southern thing going on.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So that's a thing. And you have a lot of ponds, a lot of water.
Oh, yeah.
Here you got a lot of dense trees and so on. So what do you think? People do pretty much what they want because they're out of sight from the trees, out of mind? Or is there a guy with a clipboard and a shiny badge got called by Karen coming and visiting there?
You know, for the most part, you know, if you're outside of city limits, people just leave you alone. There's no I don't really see any enforcement for really anything. And it's just the general mindset. People just, you know, just do what they do over here.
Well, they come in saying you didn't get a permit, and where's your fee of a little something for the home team?
No, not where we are. Like, we're right here in Cherokee Nation. But I think, you know, maybe it's different from county to county, but over here, I mean, it's pretty mellow.
Well, that was one of the draws for Mike. He was like, yeah, man, you're in the Cherokee Nation of definitely leave us alone, you know?
Right.
The Americans, they'll explain it to you. So it's I've really enjoyed our times. We don't really plan on coming to as many Midfests as we do. It's just that we're always either leaving Arizona April, you know, because it's summer,
right,
or we're going back, it's October, to get, you know, like Halloween. So we're always coming.
Well, I've seen you every time since
I've
been here.
We're always kind of come by. I think this year is the first year in, God, 15 years or something since 08 that we have missed a pork fest.
Mm.
If we don't go, I mean, I keep saying that, and then we wind up going anyway. But, you know, this is the first time that we've not gone to New England, and it's because we really need to get on our land. We just closed last month and getting all ready for it and everything. Now, trigger pull. And we were going to hold off for the summer because it's just freaking the summer. And I'm going, you know, I don't think we can wait. I'm thinking things are getting stupid. And we need to get, you know, make use of the summer, suck it up, and get as ready as we can so that, you know, we can get, you know, going when it's, get it prepped for when it does cool down and we can, you know, enjoy the build. You know, we're at a stage that we can get a lot built.
Right.
You know, we get the infrastructure in. And like this little battery EcoFlow thing that I got here, I had to buy that just so I could have power to build my solar system, you know, out there. I got to have power, damn it, you know, and something. So, and then, of course, we got generators and all that. But even I need that to build to where I'm going to put the generator. I mean, it's just, I mean, we're starting from scratch.
Right.
You know, and it's, what do we do first? The biggest thing is I got a, because it's, you know, heavy clay on the surface. I'm going to auger like 9-inch, 5-6-foot holes to put sand in so it charges, the water charges the land.
Yeah.
So I can do trees. And if I don't get that ready now by the monsoon in the end of July, then I'll miss a year of charging the land. And I'm just like, nope, that's my goal. I got to get that done. And then, but to do that, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get on it and try and suck it up, man. Suck it up.
Yeah, I think get on top of it now while you can.
Well, what do you think's happening? Is there a timeline? Are you seeing things that, as concerned as you were, that caused you to leave California with COVID and all that crap? What about that motivated you to move? I mean, did it tell you the character of government or that particular government or that area or something? What was it, other than just stupid crap, that scared you, that, you know, it's time to leave?
You know, for many years, you know, I've been sort of on the voluntarist philosophical tip.
Yep.
And, you know, there wasn't a lot of that in California. I saw things getting worse, and I started actually planning well before COVID, a few years before COVID. basically just, you know, networking with people, getting to know people, you know, some people in the area, but more outside the area. And, you know, it's kind of like there's a storm coming. You know, I don't know when exactly it's going to hit, but I can kind of feel it. To be honest with you, with COVID, you know, I did not see that particular aspect of the storm coming. I don't know if a lot of people did at
all. No, the vaccine thing is kind of, we anticipated that, but the lockdown and the COVID and the reaction and that kind of stuff, I didn't, that, you know, I don't usually get surprised, but that was like, whoa, man, they're right. Definitely on it now.
I could believe how long people, like, went with it. Like, I thought, you know, when they first started talking about, you know, oh, we're going to lock down, shut things down for a couple weeks, you know, flatten the curve.
You love grandma, don't you?
I thought, well, this is kind of stupid, you know. I'll just chill out for a little bit, and surely after a week or two, people are going to, you know, snap out of this. Like, this, you know, this is like a form of suicide here for everybody. And, you know, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, a month, you know, I think what really put me over the edge, sort of like kind of mentally, was, you know, we went through it for a while in California. And I think that summer of 2020, there was a period for a few weeks where things were like lightened up and everyone was sort of kind of feeling a little good again, kind of getting back into a little bit of normalcy. And then right in the middle of the summer, it was just like, bam, you know, governor comes in, lockdown real hard again. LA County was one of the worst. LA City, LA County.
What do you think was really going on? There's something going on. I mean, there's something going on. What do you think it was?
As to why they're doing this?
Yeah, I mean, to do another lockdown, make you feared. You're not feared enough. Was it just to get the COVID injection numbers up? Were they getting a bonus? There was something going on.
Well, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of money. You know, these pharmaceutical companies are trying to find ways to push their products. We're understanding vaccines are like some of those profitable ways that they can operate.
You don't have any liability.
Right, right. And if they can sort of, you know, force it upon you or coerce you and push it so hard, I mean, that's a lot of money to be made.
So how did your children, you know, fare? They probably, you're young enough, they don't give a crap. Where's mom, dad, a bed, and a meal? I mean, you know, but the how did they adapt moving and coming out here? You got, what, 9 and 12? So are they making friends?
Yeah, it was sad to, you know, leave some friends behind. But, you know, from the beginning, they could see through what was going on, too. Mm-hmm. And they were motivated to go. We sat together one night when we finally decided enough is enough. You know, they're really squeezing us out of here. You know, job is being threatened every day. And, you know, how many months could we go without, you know, regular income coming in to, you know, keep a roof over our heads and food on the table? We sat down as a family and we pulled out a big map and we made a list of priorities and we said, all right, do we want to leave the country? And we talked about it. And this is going from, like, you know, from us right through down to the youngest kid. Mm-hmm. And who was, I think, maybe 7 at the time, just about to turn 7. Anyway, so we talked about, you know, do we want to leave the country? And we said, no, let's stay in the country. Okay, where do we want to go? And we looked at this map, and we looked at all these different states. And we had, you know, some working knowledge, but also there was a guide. It was a strategic relocation, I think. Was it Skousen?
Skousen,
yeah. Right? We had a copy of that we were looking at. And we said, okay, how about this state? You know, yeah, check was yes. Strong possibility. X was no, we don't want to go there. Question mark was maybe, you know, research a little more. We'll see. And then we kind of narrowed it down to Arizona. I really love the Northeast Arizona. That Heber snowflake area was really calling
to
me.
It's really nice.
We looked at Idaho, kind of like north central Idaho. Mm-hmm. You know, cold winters, you know, it's up there. But, you know, freedom. But it wasn't really the paths trying to get to those places were just not opening up. So where else were we looking? We said, well, there's, you know, that guy there, you know, that we know, that our good friend Mike Swadek, you know, he seems like he really enjoys the area. He's a pretty cool dude, pretty laid back, and you know, reached out
laid
to him.
Laid back Mike. Yeah. Mike.
And he was sort of like, you know, hey, if if we were going to go there, you know, where would you look? You know, well, I would look, you know, south of this area, west of here, and stay a few miles north of this. And he gave us sort of like a, you know, this
area
where we're trying to kind of target. And it just turns out, so we started looking there. And we found really two places. The first one, you know, he was our, you know, him and his wife, our foot soldiers for first
go
line
take
of
a
inspectors.
Look,
go take a look. What do you think? So they went out. They looked at one place over in Watts, Oklahoma. And he said, yeah, you know, it's kind of a little run down. Really needs some work. And so we passed on that one. And then we found our second one. And he said, you know, for the price and what you get, and, you know, it's I think it's a really good buy. And his wife agreed. And we looked at the map, and it was really close to where he lived, surprisingly. So that just opened up. And we made the leap. I mean, we did our inspections from afar and did the best we could from afar. We didn't really have the time or the real, you know, money to keep traveling back and forth.
You went to look at it with a U-Haul in the back of your car.
Oh, yeah.
To the free state, and you're looking for some real estate. Well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Realtor Mark Warden.
Now you can learn more about the awesome things happening here in New Hampshire in our march toward liberty in our lifetime. Our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, and political freedom victories. They also have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. Visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.